And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. Goes from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I'm talking about all the way down to that prettiest little town on the plains called Auburn. And yes, even big old patches of Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right, hey, we're going to the phones. So somebody who has been on the show multiple times, Andrew Sorrell, he started off his elected career in the Alabama State House just a few years ago. Then he moved to the position of being the Alabama State Auditor, and he has now announced that he is apparently a glutton for punishment, and he's going to run for Secretary of State. I will tell you that during his tenure in the House, that he was noted as one of the most conservative members of the House, and I actually gave him an award called the Policy Warrior Award when I was at the Alabama Policy Institute. So without further ado, let me just bring him on. Andrew Sorrell, how are you doing?
Bill, it's great to be on with you, and I did not realize I knew your show was big, but man, you really have a reach.
We're covering some ground, brother. It's like every day is a new adventure.
Well, that's great. The bigger the audience, the better. And yes, I'm a glutton for punishment. You know, some politicians don't really like the campaign aspect of it. I've never minded it. I'm a people person. I love going out there and explaining to the voters why I'm the best person for the job. And thankfully, the voters have narrowly agreed with me twice. I've 52% and 57% in my last two elections. I snuck on in there. But anyway, happy to be serving.
Well, you know what they say is a win's a win, brother. you're in. Your time during the state house, you sort of made your bones as the guy who wasn't going to play around with budgets that weren't reconciling, with pork spending, with things that did not need to be a part of the appropriations process, and we gave you an award for that at API. And then you went to the auditor's job. Talk to us a little bit about where you've been, and then let's move you towards this announcement about Secretary of State.
Yeah, sure thing. So when I announced for State House back in 2017, I decided to run for one reason. I wanted to pass constitutional carry in Alabama. I thought it was ridiculous that you had to purchase your right to carry a pistol with you, either concealed on your person or in your vehicle. You had to purchase a permit in order to do that. Clearly unconstitutional. And I sponsored the bill to fix that, built it up from 7 co-sponsors my first year to 38 co-sponsors my last year, including the speaker, and the bill finally went through. When it did, it was my friend Shane Stringer's version instead of my own, but they were virtually identical, and proud of Shane and the work he did. I was happy to partner with him, so that's in large part what I spent my 4 years in the state house working on and advocating for. Now, you mentioned being kind of a fiscal hawk, and you know I was, but I guess in some sense, but I said this the night that you gave me the award at Alabama Policy Institute. I said, I don't even necessarily feel like I deserve an award. All I ever did was vote against borrowing money, vote against higher taxes, and vote against budgets that grew the size of government faster than the rate of inflation. To me, those are three very basic things that all Republicans should be voting that way. And I was a little bit surprised I got an award for doing it. But thank you for the award. I'm sitting here. It's on my mantle in the state auditor's office right now. I'm looking at it as we speak, and I did appreciate that. Also had a perfect 100 on my American Conservative Union scorecard in 2021 and got a chairman's commendation from the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party for my work on civil asset forfeiture reform. So I did have a very strong conservative. I was never ranked lower than 5 in the state house, and normally I was number 1 most conservative while I was there. And then ran for state auditor in 2022 and was fortunate enough to be elected. I've served 2 years in that position. I appoint board of registrars members throughout the state, 66 different appointments, and serve on the board of adjustment, the penny trust fund board, and have a few other various duties. So thoroughly enjoyed my time there as well, and that kind of brings us to where we are today.
And I'll be honest with you, in today's environment, I could say it this way and people will know what I mean. If it's done well, done right, the auditor's office can be the doge of government. Am I right?
It can be, and it should be. One of the things I wanted to push for when I first got in here was to give the auditor's office basically doge. This is doge before we knew what doge was, right?
Yeah.
I had this idea years ago at the state government level, and I wanted to investigate state government spending, look for where we could save money. And there were some other agencies. I was kind of stepping on their toes. I know Senator Orr had created one called ACES, Alabama Commission on the Evaluation of Services, that does some similar things. But it wasn't as broad and comprehensive of an effort as I wanted. And obviously what we're doing in Alabama is not adequate, because our budget has grown from $2.1 billion in the general fund to $3.7 billion this year. And that's just since I was in the legislature. Well, good night. I didn't get there until 2019 was my first session. And the education trust fund budget also is exploding many years. It's going up double-digit growth. So, you know, if we're looking for – everybody is for DOGE and for cutting spending until it's their program or their thing that they're passionate about. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you find out they're not that serious about it. And I loved Ron Paul had a quote on this on Twitter the other day. He put this up. And he said, if DOGE does its job right, then people on both sides of the aisle will be complaining about it. Like politicians on both sides will complain about the cuts. Right now it's just the Democrats whining about getting cut. He said they obviously haven't cut enough because none of the Republicans are whining yet.
Well, I think this is a sort of a dynamic that you can take with you into any office, because streamlining government and efficiency is something that you've been championing, and I know that personally for a number of years. And by the way, just even the way you name your kids tells me that you've got a heart for good government. So I won't say them out loud because they're your kids, and I won't say it on the air, but I love the names of your beautiful children you give them. They're basically what I would call patriotic names, if you know what I'm saying. But let me ask you this. You've made an announcement now. You want to run for Secretary of State. Why? And what are you going to do that hadn't already been done?
Well, the why is very easy. I'm running for Secretary of State because I care about election integrity. And I think great strides have been made under previous administrations and the current administration, but I want to finish the job. So Alabama has great elections. You know, we vote in person, we vote on election day with a photo ID on a paper ballot.
Yep.
So our elections are really good, but they aren't perfect, and I won't stop working until they are. Now, Phil, you're a student of Alabama politics. You're probably going to be familiar with these races I'm talking about, but Debbie Wood won her runoff in 2018 by 6 votes. The Tom Watley J. Hovey State Senate race came down to 1 vote.
1 vote.
The Conecuh County Sheriff's race that's still being litigated came down to 1 vote. There are so many examples of close elections, and I think Alabamians deserve to know that every vote that counted was a legal vote. So that's the short version of why I'm running, and I'll be happy to get into to what I would build upon the foundation that previous secretaries have laid. What else can we do? Because right now we are ranked number 2 in elections by Heritage. If you go look at the Heritage scorecard, Tennessee is ahead of us. We're tied with Georgia and Florida for number 2. By the way, great to have Alabama at the top of some rankings for once, other than in just college football. I get tired of the number 49 and thank God for Mississippi type stuff we normally do. We have really good elections. Why aren't we number 1? Well, the most glaring omission from Alabama elections is that we don't audit them. I got a phone call from a friend last week in Chilton County. He goes, Andrew, he said, you're not going to support that election audit bill, are you? And I said, you do realize you're asking the state auditor if he's going to support an audit bill, right? And he kind of laughed, how silly. Of course, I support property audits, financial audits, procedural audits, performance audits. And yes, election audits are a fantastic idea. Alabama scored a big goose egg on the election audit portion of the Heritage scorecard. So if we're going to get to number 1, we got to audit our elections. The right way to do it is to involve the probate judges, your local election officials, your board of registrars, get input from them. But you've got to randomly select precincts and hand count them to make sure that the count matches what the tabulator said. Now, we did this on a small scale in 2022. 3 counties. David Stanridge had the bill. I voted for the bill. We did Houston, Marshall County, and Dallas County, 3 counties that volunteered for this one-time election audit. The count in Dallas County was not correct. They hand-counted it 4 times. I've spoken to the probate judge. It was off by 2 votes in the governor's race. Why? Nobody knows. But the numbers didn't match. That's why we've got to have a larger-scale audit that's permanent, happens every single election. I know this, and you know this. If people are not getting audited, they're more likely to cheat.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, that's just common sense.
And I assume that the audit would then also be published so the results could be seen by the public. Is that right?
It has to be. It's got to be. Like right now, the 2022 audit we did is available on the Secretary of State's website. You can go read it. You can see where they hand tallied the ballots and everything. You can read their notes. It's all very transparent. That's exactly the system that we should have. And speaking of transparency in Alabama elections, it costs $38,000 to buy the Secretary of State voter list for Alabama. That also is the highest in the nation.
Wow.
For transparency's sake, we got to bring that cost down. I mean, how this is public information. The public deserves to know who is on the voter rolls. And I say that with great confidence because that's Alabama law.
Yeah.
Phil, your probate judge is required to publish the voter list every 2 years before the primary. They have to publish a voter list in a local newspaper. And let so it's transparent. Everyone can go see who is registered, who's going to be, who is eligible to vote in this upcoming election. But no one's going to go buy 67 newspapers and compile the voter list. Like, if you want to purchase a voter list, you have to do it through the Secretary of State's office. Other states are selling it for $5,000 or less.
Yeah.
That fee needs to be slashed, and that's a promise I'm going to make if I get elected.
And I think that's huge, especially as someone who's run for office myself, and you know it too. Buying that voter list, it's not like you're buying key information. All you're doing is making sure you know who the registered voters are and be able to focus your campaign, but also then you can purge the accounts, and counties can purge the account. I mean, it's a big deal. So let me ask you this. One of the things that's a huge deal too for Alabama, and we've gone through the ringer on this in recent years, is redistricting. And there is still, if I'm not mistaken, there's still pending litigation about our congressional districts that were redrawn for us by the courts. Am I correct in saying that's still an active case?
It is. It is still an active case.
Yeah, and I know you probably can't comment on it because you're actually running for the position. But the reality is, your office would wind up having to deal with the aftermath of that case, whether it be a win or a loss for Republicans. It's going to wind up being something that the registrars have to realign the lines for, that the voter lists have to be correct for, and that everybody's voting in the correct district. I mean, being the chief election officer is more than just a few of the things that you've already cited, which are huge, but there's a whole lot of aftermath of things like redistricting that you got to deal with too.
If you do your job right, if you do your job right as Secretary of State, you are going to be sued. John Merrill was sued 28 times, and he won all 28 of them, by the way. Wes Allen told me he'd been sued 9 times. Now, I feel like a slacker because I've only been sued twice as state auditor, so I need to up my game or something. But on a serious note, like, if you do your job right, you're going to be sued a lot. You're going to end up in lawsuits, and thankfully you have the Attorney General to help you in these situations. But there's going to be redistricting lawsuits. And on the topic of redistricting, you know, if I were fortunate enough to be elected and be reelected in 2030, we would be going through another redistricting cycle. And there's some things we can do better. We've got to get this GIS software so all the counties are using it to redraw district lines. It's so much more accurate and precise than the old, put a paper map out on a big desk and draw the district out kind of nonsense. Like, this is the 21st century. We've got to move past that. I've made a big emphasis on appointing board of registrars who are qualified, who know how to use a computer. I had people wanting to be reappointed to the Board of Registrars, and they said, well, I'm going to have to mail you in my application. I don't know how to attach it to an email.
Oh,
I thought, okay, well, you know what? You probably shouldn't be a registrar if that's the case.
No doubt. In fact, thank you for letting me know so that just saved me some trouble. I think that this is a big deal. It's a huge job. People don't realize to the extent, and then you have to coordinate or try to coordinate with all the other secretaries of state because there's overlapping voter. If somebody moves from one state to the next, voter records have to get updated. I know that's one of the things, and we only got about a minute left here, but I think Secretary of State Wes Allen helped create some synergies among states on that very issue. Am I right?
Yeah, I'll end on this point. He created what's called the Alabama Voter Integrity Database. We share data with 7 surrounding states. We compare the voter lists. We eliminate duplicates. ALEA sends us information of people who get driver's licenses in other states, so we can begin the process of removing them from the voter rolls. We were down 6 points to Tennessee on the scorecard in accuracy of voter rolls. We've got to improve it there if we want to be number one.
That's good stuff. Well, listen, State Auditor Andrew Sorrell vying to be Secretary of State Andrew Sorrell. If folks want to find out more about you, have you got a website up yet?
The website is coming soon, but you can find me, Andrew Sorrell, for Secretary of State on Facebook. The Facebook page is up as of yesterday.
All right, man. Well, we appreciate your time. We'll have you back on again as things progress, all right?
Thank you so much, Phil.
All right, take care. Yeah, so in case you hadn't figured it out, the election season's heating up already. Like, already. Didn't we just finish an election season? Yes, it's perpetual. It never ends. It's called democracy. Y'all stay tuned. We're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back, catch up on some text messages, and discuss a few things. And then top of the hour, John Wall calling in. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.